Amen. Oh, how he loves you and me. Let's open with prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you, Lord, for each one who's here, for this time we can come together around your word in your presence. Father, I pray that this morning we might be reminded and recalled to our Savior's side, closer, deeper, fuller, let us grow in our walk with our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. This is a very well-known passage, often particularly quoted in relation to missions, which it does apply to. But that's not where I'm going this morning with it. But I'm going to read, beginning with verse 13, Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 13, we'll read down through 17, and then we will dive in. He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And I want to look this morning specifically at faith. And this whole context I wanted to read because he talks and he begins to lay this premise from the very beginning, of verse 13 on down through. He's laying the premise, he's laying the context that faith is based, true faith is based on God and his word. True faith is not a feeling. Faith is not just something I feel swelling up inside of me, and so now I just have the faith that I need to walk this way. True faith is based on God's word. And God himself, his character, he says, how shall they call, or whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. That's a promise that you and I, if we have been saved, have claimed. That's a promise we have staked our eternity on. And we've staked our eternity on this promise in faith, or we never got saved at all. But the faith is not just some foggy, dreamy feeling. The faith is, I trust that God means it. He said, if I call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved. And here I am, Lord, calling. And so I believe that you have done what you said you would do and that I am saved. And so, excuse me. He continues on now through this passage. He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Again, it's based on hearing of, it's based on the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And then he again reverts to the word of God, as it is written. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Everybody that's heard the gospel doesn't automatically get saved, right? Because what does he say? It takes calling on the name of the Lord in faith to be saved. So just because you've heard the gospel doesn't mean that you are saved. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So the word is here, the word is over here, the word is that report, but who's believed it? That's who's been saved. That's who has obeyed the gospel. That's who can say, I've called upon the name of the Lord, and I have been saved. And then he wraps this section up by saying, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So many times when we talk about faith in a just a more general type of a way, we find ourselves or we find our fellow believers talking about faith as a feeling. And there is a feeling of faith, and that's not necessarily disconnected from or always separate from faith, but faith is not the feeling, and faith can't be based on my feelings, or it will falter and it will fail every single time, because feelings change. Feelings weaken. I can wake up one morning and I feel excited to get out of bed and go to work. I wake up the next morning and I'm like, boy, do I really want to have to get up and go to work? I don't even like the place I work. So feelings can change. Feelings come and go. If our faith is nothing more than a feeling, we're already lost. We already lost the battle. But how do I come to know more faith? How do I come to experience a stronger faith? He tells us right here. It comes from hearing the word of God. Our faith, true faith, is founded on God himself and on God's word. And so it grows stronger, not by just squeezing harder, but by knowing God's word more. Because faith comes and is directly aligned with and correlated with the word of God. Strong's defines faith as a persuasion that is credence. So credence would be like when you give credibility to something, when you realize, you recognize, and you know that something has credibility. So Strong's defines faith as a persuasion that is credence. So this is a persuasion, a belief that is credibility. In and of itself, this persuasion, this belief is credence. Moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God and constancy in such profession. Faith is believing, knowing you believe, knowing who you believe in, and therefore what you believe, based not just on theories and mental attestation, but based on who. And then it is constancy, continuing on faithfully in such a profession. Faith is not based on whether I feel close to him or not. Faith is not based on whether I feel particularly confident about a certain outcome that I'm looking forward to in particular situations. We get that confused many times. We call that faith. And it's not. Because faith, true proper faith, is based on God and on his word. It's not based on, oh, I just had this feeling, this dreamy pie in the sky feeling, and so I just believe it's going to happen. True faith is based on the veracity or the solidity of the one on whom the faith is fixed and the actual written word of God. Too many times we, as Christians, we're trying to pump up a feeling of faith in relation to a certain expectation we have or a certain feeling that we got. When that doesn't come to pass how we expected it to, or doesn't feel the way we thought it would, we have doubts. We struggle more the next time to pump up that feeling of faith because we think our faith was disappointed last time, right? But that's not actually got anything to do with faith, because our faith, true faith, is based on the word of God. And God never fails his word. God doesn't always do what I think he's going to do. God doesn't always bring situations to pass in the way that I expected they would come to pass. God doesn't always cause things to feel the way I thought they were going to feel. And if my faith is based on those things, I am already setting myself up for disappointment. Because I'm basing my faith on feelings of things that aren't particularly wrong, but aren't the Word of God. And if my faith is based on anything other than what God actually says and on God's actual revealed, stated character, then it may come to pass, it may not. But if my faith is resting on that, I am bound to be disappointed. And guess what happens so many times in our life is because it was disappointed that time, now the next time, when maybe it's time to actually engage my true faith in the Word of God, in the character of God, in the person of God, I find myself faltering and weak in the faith because I've been disappointed, because I had expectations I shouldn't have had. I had expectations that were never based on the Word of God to begin with, but I thought it was going to happen because I thought that's the feeling I had. I thought God was going to do this. And then when He didn't and I'm disappointed about it, now I'm crushed, I'm heartbroken, my faith is faltering, my faith is weak. It wasn't faith in a biblical sense because it wasn't based on God's character and God's Word. We do ourselves a huge disfavor when we confuse the two. We do ourselves a huge disfavor because we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. We're setting ourselves up to find ourselves struggling to trust the actual promises of God because we were trying to pump up feelings of trust and faith for things that weren't the promises of God, and then they didn't come true. And so now I feel like I can't trust God. Well, you can't trust your understanding and your perspective and your personal ideas of what God's going to do for you. Yes, that's absolutely true. You shouldn't put credence in that. That doesn't mean God Himself is not trustworthy. That means you are trying to base your faith on something that your faith wasn't supposed to be based on. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is supposed to be based on the actual, written, unchangeable Word of God. And if it's based on anything else, I am setting myself up for disappointment, heartbreak, and discouragement. How many times I take some little, maybe some little sign or some little feeling, and I go, oh, well, God's going to step in and do something amazing for me. And then it doesn't quite work out how I think. And all of a sudden, I'm blaming God. Well, God, why didn't you come through for me? God, don't you love me? God, don't you care that I'm sitting here heartbroken, my heart in a puddle in my hands, and you don't care? It's like, I never promised that. Sometimes I've run into this kind of an experience with my children where I come home from work and they had an expectation that they thought I was going to do such and such a thing. And then they're disappointed when Dad doesn't do that. Well, Dad never promised he was going to do that. You thought that's how it was going to work. And it was fine for you to think that. That's not a wrong thing. But if you base your trust in your Father on things you've just fabricated in your mind, if you base your expectations and your faith on something that isn't actually thus saith the Lord, you're going to be disappointed a lot of times. God doesn't promise to fulfill all your expectations. God promises to fulfill all His promises. God promises to fulfill His Word. God promises to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That doesn't mean that He's going to fulfill all of my expectations of what I think God's going to do for me. Those are two very different things. And if my faith is based on what I expect, based on what I think, based on what I feel, it will be disappointed. If we are setting our faith on something other than the Word of God. There are many great and precious promises that are made to us in Scripture. But what I feel like God is going to do specifically for me is beyond that is beyond the promises of God's word ought to be held very loosely. And don't set your faith on that. Don't wrap up your confidence in God and your expectation that God will do this in something that's not actually written. Something that's not actually the character of God. I may be happily hoping, and that's fine. I may be happily hoping that God brings this situation to work out in a particular way. That's not a problem. But if I set my heart on it as God will do this for me, I'm setting myself up for failure. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Paul here speaking to the Corinthians. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, but declaring unto you the testimony of God. I came, I didn't come all flowery, I didn't come all carefully thought out. I came declaring to you the testimony, the actual word of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul says, the way I came to you to preach to you was very carefully thought and prayed through, and it was very intentional. I came not trying to be the smartest guy in the room, because I didn't want your faith to be based on me. I didn't want your faith to be based on how well and how flowery I could talk. I didn't want your faith to be based on anecdotes and stories that make you laugh or cry. I wanted your faith to be based on God and His Word only. And so when I came to you, I was very careful not to come with wisdom of man. He says, I was weak among you. I came among you with fear, weakness, much trembling. My speech and my preaching, it wasn't particularly flowery. It wasn't particularly fancy. Now, Paul could wax very eloquent at times, right? But he said, when I came to you, I specifically, intentionally chose, I will not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I intentionally decided I'm not going to come in there just telling them all these cool things, all these cool ideas, because I want to make sure that as their faith is being established, it's being established on the power of God, on the Word of God, not in the wisdom of man. My absolute determination, Paul says, was as much as possible. I don't want you guys to be basing your faith on anything but God. I don't want you to be basing it. And he says this earlier on in the first chapter. You aren't a follower of me as in your, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. No, you're all of Christ or you're not in the body. And I came to you, he says, specifically making sure that as much as possible I'm keeping me out of it. I intentionally, you might say, played dumb on other things so that you wouldn't hear anything from me except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I determined that I'm not going to know anything else among you. When you ask me a different question, I don't have a different answer except Christ. That's my determination that I made, because I want to make sure your faith rests on God and His Word. And this was a pattern Paul exemplified, and the other apostles exemplified throughout Scripture. We see it even when they came and they had their different conferences there in Jerusalem. We see them sitting around and discussing, and one felt one way and one felt another way, and that's why they had a disagreement. But when they sat down together to discuss it, what did they bring in? The Word of God. And then when that had been discussed and when that had been understood, there's no more question. There's no more wondering. I don't care if Peter particularly feels one way and John feels a different way. That doesn't matter, because thus saith the Lord. A very well-known verse, Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, by their faith. But now if you think of faith as some intangible pie in the sky, brute force, just making myself believe something, it seems quite unreasonable to call that the substance of things hoped for. And it is unreasonable to call that the substance of things hoped for. But true faith is based on the Word of God, and thereby God Himself and His full revealed character. And that is substance. That is something to hang on to. That is something to base your faith on, that you can truly say, yeah, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So many things in the Christian life, we don't see the spiritual truths in a visible, physical, visual way that we live in day by day. We don't see all of those truths evidently before our physical human eyes. But he says faith is the substance of those things. Faith is the evidence of those things. That's because faith, true faith, is based on God, His Word, His character. And I take those promises, I take those statements, I take those commands, I take those words, and I take them and I hold them as true and absolute based on God Himself, who He says He is. And the evidence is set forth all through Scripture. And that gives substance. It's not any longer just this feeling of, well, I feel faith today. No, now it's got substance because it's based on God and His Word. No longer can it be shaken by disappointments coming my way, because I look at it and I go, well, I really was hoping it would happen this such and such a way. I was really hoping it would turn out such and such a way. But God didn't promise that. And God is still the same today as He was yesterday. God still loves me as much today as He did yesterday. So what do I have to be discouraged and disheartened and downtrodden about? Nothing, because nothing has changed. My faith wasn't based on what I expected to happen. My faith wasn't based on how I felt. My faith was based on God's promises. My faith was based on God's Word. My faith was based on God Himself. And He doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. We don't have to worry about opening up our Bible tomorrow morning and, oh, overnight it changed and it doesn't say anymore such and such a thing. Now it says something else. We don't have to worry that we're going to end up standing before the judgment seat of Christ and all of a sudden, just kidding, the rules were changed and we forgot to update you. Scripture wasn't written with that statement at the beginning of it, like is written in front of legal contracts, that these terms and conditions are subject to change without notice. No. God says, I've given you my Word. My Word endures forever. I endure forever. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He even tells us, hey, the Word that I have given you is the standard, is the test by which you will stand before God. So we have the answer key right before us. We don't have to go wander around and hope and wonder, well, did God change the rules? Maybe I thought I was good with Him. I think I was good with Him yesterday, but did He change the rules overnight? Did He change how He feels about me? Did He change what He expects of me? Did He change who He is and His promises? Is He actually going to be with me today? He said He'd be with me forever, but that was yesterday. Is he still going to be with me forever? No, the Word never changes. The Word is written and settled in heaven and on earth, and God's character is settled. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He means, I will never leave you or forsake you. And my feelings of whether that's true in this particular situation or not has nothing to do with it. Because my faith is based on the Word of God. I might not feel very much like He's with me right now. That has nothing to do with the fact that He promised He will be with me. It reminds me of a story of a little boy who his daddy, well, he wasn't a little boy, he was a teenager, but his daddy was trying to help him grow in his courage and his solidity and confidence. And he says, son, I want you to go, here's a tent, here's a sleeping bag, I want you to go out into the woods tonight, and I want you to camp out there by yourself all night. Boy, the son is really nervous about this. You know, he's never done this before by himself. He's really uneasy. He's really nervous. And he's like, well, man, I think I heard rumors. I mean, it's been a year now, but I think I heard rumors that, you know, somebody had seen a bobcat on their trail cam last year. I'm going to be out there by myself. But he gets the tent, goes out into the woods, he sets up tent, he crawls in his sleeping bag, and he's laying there, and he's hearing all these noises around him. He's hearing all the sounds. He's worried, he's on edge, he's frightened. Hears a leaf rustle nearby, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be brave, I'm going to trust that Dad knows what he's talking about, I'm going to trust that it's okay. He finally falls asleep. He finally makes it through the night. He gets up in the morning, crawls out of his tent, rolls up his sleeping bag, packs up his tent, and he starts heading back towards the house. And as he's heading back towards the house, he keeps getting this feeling like somebody's watching him. He's like, oh, looking around. Finally, he breaks into a run. He runs all the way back to the house. He gets there out of breath, and he turns around and drops his stuff on the porch, and he's sitting there shaking in his boots. Here he sees his dad come walking up the trail from the woods. It's like, what were you doing? Son, you weren't alone. I wanted you to grow in your faith. I wanted you to grow in your confidence, but you weren't alone. You felt like you were alone, but I was watching all night. And this is a similar experience that you and I go through in our lives so many times is, I feel like I'm alone. God abandoned me. Can I trust that He's promised I'll never leave you or forsake you, and that He means it? Can I trust that His word is true? Can I trust that even when I can't feel Him, see Him, sense Him, that He's still there? That He still cares? That He still loves me? He's promised He does. He's promised He does. Is my faith based on my feelings? Or is my faith based on the promises of God? Is my faith based on my feelings or on His character? So many times in Scripture, Christianity itself is spoken of as the faith. Because literally holding and believing the Word of God as true and the basis of my life is being in the faith. Because that is the substance of faith, is the Word of God and God's character. We see so many times when Jesus was here on earth and He speaks to people and they come to Him asking for healing, and they come to Him asking for Him to do something miraculous for Him, and He always goes back to their faith. But I want to look specifically at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." What was this man's faith based on? It was based on the fact that when he came and said, "Jesus, will you come and heal my servant?" Jesus said, "Yes, I will." Okay. Well then, if Jesus said he will do this, then it doesn't matter if he comes to the house or not. He can do it from here just as well. I trust that you have the authority to do it. I trust you have the power to do it. And you said you will. So it's as good as done in my mind. There's no need for you to make the trip over to my house. We don't have to walk across town. I trust you. I believe you. You said it will happen. It's as good as done in my mind. And this man, as he turns to go in confidence, knowing he's going to walk back home to his house and find his servant healed, Jesus says, "Wow! Look at this faith. I've not found this great of faith in Israel." This wasn't based on a feeling that arose in the man's heart. This was based on the fact that Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Great. Done deal. Done deal. It's settled. Jesus said it. It's settled. I don't need him to show up just exactly the way I want in my situation and work things out just exactly the way that I could picture it in my mind and dream it all up. And no, Jesus said it's going to be so. And so therefore, it will be. And I trust that it will be. I'm going to turn, go my way, do the next thing that's important to do on my list. I don't know that this man necessarily rushed home to see if Jesus did it. I think if he needed to stop at the market and grab some bread, he stopped at the market and grabbed some bread because he was confident. He expresses a confidence. It's a done deal. Jesus said it. Therefore, I have no more doubts. I have no more worries. I have no more fears because I know who said it. I know what he said. And that's enough. That's enough. His faith was based on Christ's word and Christ's character. I want to look at one more time during Jesus' life here. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 through 21. Excuse me. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart." This is after Jesus has cast out an evil spirit out of this young boy who the disciples had tried and tried and tried to cast out this evil spirit, and they couldn't. So the father of the boy comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, can you help me?" And Jesus casts the spirit out of this young boy. Then the disciples come to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." What were they lacking? Faith. But what was their faith supposed to be based on? Just a feeling that it's going to be okay? No, look back all the way in chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 8. Jesus sent forth the 12 disciples and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." They'd already been given the authority, given the commission to go out and to do this. Chapters and chapters and chapters before. And here they are at this moment, and they're struggling with this situation. And Jesus says, the problem is your faith. But the problem wasn't that they didn't feel faith. The problem was they weren't trusting that when Jesus said, "I'm sending you forth to cast out evil spirits, freely you've received, freely give," that he meant this one that was more terrible than any they had seen before. That he meant this one that was so belligerent and loud and caustic and and throwing this young man in the fire. And I think it intimidated them. I think it intimidated them into feeling like, well, maybe not this one, but we'll try. No, now you're going based off of your feelings, based off of your hope that maybe it'll work. No, you go based off of the Word of God. Jesus said we're supposed to go out, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And he's given us that authority. So we come and we stand before this young man who's demon-possessed, and we speak in the name of Christ Jesus the powerful word of commanding that evil spirit to leave. But at this moment, because of their feelings, their faith faltered. It wasn't no longer a matter, it wasn't enough that Jesus said, I've given you that authority. And Jesus doesn't say, well, you just didn't have enough feelings. Jesus said you had unbelief. You didn't believe that what I said is what I meant. You didn't believe that you going in my name could accomplish what I coming in my name can do, or what I coming in my Father's name can do. You didn't believe that when I sent you forth and said, you have this authority from me, that it would be sufficient. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 15. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? The scriptures that you've known since you were a child, he says, those things, continue in them. Continue thou in those things that you've learned. Those scriptures that you've learned from a child, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith. It applies to me, the scriptures apply to me when I take them and believe them by faith. Makes me wise unto salvation. And this isn't just to getting saved, but to the fullness of salvation, my walking with Christ, because Scripture speaks of us still as those who are being saved. So this makes him wise unto salvation through faith. What faith? Faith in the Word. Faith in the scriptures that you've known since you were a child, but you have to believe them. You have to settle your faith on them, and then they make you wise unto salvation. And lastly, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That means you just grab and hold your bootstraps and just hang on, right? No, listen. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. For he is faithful that promised. The writer of Hebrews here challenging and encouraging us, hold fast your faith, but not just tenaciously hanging on to this feeling that everything's going to be all right. Hang on to the fact that you know who made the promises. Hang on to him who is faithful. Base your faith on that. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without doubting, without questioning. Not because our faith is so strong, but he is faithful that promised. He will not change. And that's what my faith must rest on. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your great and precious promises that are so clear and so available and so powerfully set forth before us. Lord, help us in our walk with you. Help us in our walking out and living this life of faith, Lord, that we might walk in confidence, not in ourselves, not in a feeling, not in a ups and downs of experience, but rather, Father, that our faith would be firmly settled, set, grounded, and rooted on He who has promised is faithful. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen.